For Rheem hot water heaters, solar, continuous flow and storage hot water, Rheem is Australia's favourite. Install a Rheem.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Swatter is here, Duck is here, JZ, Jay Clark from the Herald Sun is here, I'm here, Brian Taylor. Mickey Roberts has also walked into the studio and he's got a few little ticklers for a little bit later on as well, so we look forward to that. And joining us live in the box for the rest of the day is going to be in the special comms chair today, Swatter.
Time. He was good first time.
He was good first up, and we do know that second up, it's a lot tougher.
Yeah, it is.
You tend to have a bad one.
Yep.
So we'll see.
We won't help him out.
We'll see how Shawnee Burgoyne goes. Sean, welcome to you.
Good work. Thanks, guys. Hopefully, I don't have second game blues.
Yeah, no, it should be good today. Gold Coast and Carlton, so we're looking forward to that. No. I'm being sincere about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely sincere. Duck, you were halfway through telling us about the Tigers, and I'd like to get Sean's thoughts on this as well. They've got a really good run coming up. They've got themselves into a really, really nice position at the moment, having won five of their last six games, seven wins for the year. They play GWS, Carlton and St Kilda the next three.
Yeah, I'm not. Don't worry about the next three. They'll acquit themselves very well. I think that they're ready to go to that next level, and that is win a final. They haven't done that for 2 years, the 2 years they've played finals. We know that they got flogged against Port Adelaide, Carlton the year before. They're a good footy team right now. I mean, you don't beat Port Adelaide away, you don't beat Sydney or Fremantle away if you're not a good team. The other thing that I like about them is the fact they don't rely on any one player. I think that their spread is now more even. I think Trent Cotchin is a better leader. I think Miles, we know what Miles gives you week in, week out. I think Jack Riewoldt is a better player than he's ever been before. I said that yesterday on Dead Set Legends on Triple M. His work rate and the way he goes about it, his decision making, his leadership is second to none.
Good tools in defence, Chaplin and Rance.
Rance is an absolute star, all Australian, no question about it. And Vickery, and I've been probably one of his bigger critics because of his work rate and the way he gets around there. To have a really poor first half and then come out and play a really good second half and be one of the reasons why you win a game is what is what you can build off. And a lot of very good players can't do that, BT. And he's not in that category, obviously. But to do that, that must do a lot for his psyche. I'm really loving Richmond at the moment. And I love the way they play. So I think they're ready to take the next step.
Looks like, Sean, they're playing to a structure. And, you know, the words of their coach look like they're finally sinking in. It looks like they're capable of playing, of talking about how they should play and actually doing it now.
Exactly. They're able to execute what the coach wants. So, which is, you know, they've produced that on those games away, like the Duck mentioned, you know, when they went to Sydney last week, obviously in Adelaide and in Perth. So if they can bottle that and produce that weekly here when they have their games at the MCG, they're going to go deep into September if they can produce that on a regular basis.
But history suggests that this is now where the Tiger train gets derailed a bit. When we're all pumping them up, when they do look good, then now they let a game slip against one of the lesser teams. So perhaps this is the big test for the boys now, how they handle their success.
Look, the win of four in a row came against Collingwood, Port, Essendon and Fremantle. Gee, there's three really good sides in there.
The loss to West Coast coming off the bye, not an excuse, but you sort of half-by expected it.
Because only 20 points.
Yeah, and the bye came at a bad time. They're one of the informed teams of the competition.
And the thing is, Sean, they've actually had the Hawks measure in the past couple of years. They've actually been a bit of a bogey team for you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they've beaten us the last few times. I think we beat them last time last year. But yeah, they have troubled us. When their gun players play well, the rest seem to get on board and they have that even contribution across the team. So, you know, when we come up against them, we know, you know, we got to be on our game because, you know, they have, like you said, they have touched us up.
Cotchin's only play them once. It's round 18 when Hawthorn meet Richmond.
Cotchin's he's obviously their captain, but their barometer is Jack. And Jack's played a really selfless style of football this year. And I think he seems to be playing footy as though he's really happy with his role within his team. And what I liked about his performance on Friday night, he realised that he had Rampy. It was a strange decision for mine, Duck, that they went with Dan Dane Rampey for the entire night. Jack ended up kicking six goals, but it wasn't a selfish six-goal haul. It was a really team-orientated, did what he had to do. And what I also liked about him, he realised he had a matchup that suited him on the night, so he wanted some isolation to have Rampey one-on-one.
It was the work he did, and once you don't get to see this when you're just watching it on TV. You've got to watch him live. It's the work he did before he took his marks and before he got possessions. He led at time, Swatter. That's the smartest leading that I've seen him do. I've watched him a fair bit this year. So I don't like to use running patterns. It's a load of crap, BT. Oh, you got to run here, you got to run there. Read the bloody game.
Right.
And that's what he did. He read the bloody game, and he led to positions that were dangerous. He led to positions that was easier for the kicker to hit him. So often you see forwards, they lead to a spot where the space is. The bloke's on his left foot and you're 50 metres away. He's never going to bloody hit you.
So
there's no point leading there. Jack was very smart in where he led and how he led the other night.
So would your advice to Richmond supporters to be to line up for semi-final tickets or prelim final tickets?
Oh, line up for semi-final tickets.
Right.
No doubt about that. I think that they will win a final this year.
Well, because of the top four the way that is and Hawthorn losing those early games and now the question marks on Sydney, they're going to lose some of their big gun forwards. The top four actually opens up a little bit. So Gary Lyon was saying on Thursday night he didn't think Fremantle could win the premiership this year. So there's a top four spot, whether it's a North Melbourne who got an easy draw or a Richmond, to actually break into that top four.
Well, we've got Shawnee here, and there's a lot of discussions about, obviously, if Fremantle and Sydney do finish 1 and 2, and you just made a really good point. Obviously, Fremantle will finish 1 or 2 simply because of wins and losses to this point. Sydney now, if they lose, and they will lose a couple of players, so they become a little bit vulnerable, which leaves the door open for Hawthorn. I want to ask Shawnee, you guys seriously, and everyone's saying, you're seriously in second gear and you're still winning enough games and only lost a few. You haven't played your best footy this year, have you?
No, we haven't. We've been fairly scratchy. We had those four losses in the first half of the year, which makes it really hard in the second part of the year because, you get those early wins, you have the option of resting your senior players in the back half if you are going well. We haven't done that. So, we had lapses where teams were able to kick goals against us, and we still haven't got our best team out in the park every week consistently. Graham Birchall's missed a number of weeks and Cyril was out in the weekend. So, we obviously had Chipper Frawley do his shoulder yesterday as well. So we've got to get our best team out in the park and execute what the coaches want us to do for a full game. So we don't think we're operating at 100% yet. We're getting towards that.
What's the update on that, Chipper? Dislocated shoulder, so that could finish him for a couple of months.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I was told it was his shoulder. He's got to go in and have scans today.
Yep.
He missed a few weeks earlier on in the year when he strained his pec, so it's injury. So his fingers crossed the scans come back and gives him the all clear, but we won't know until we get them today.
If you've dislocated a shoulder, it's quite simple. You have surgery straight away. You have 6 weeks off. It stays in a sling for four. You have then 2 to recover. You come back and play. Daisy Thomas did it. Came back, wasn't 100% fit. He's now gone in for surgery. Obviously, Gary did it the year before, had surgery. So they're the two scenarios. That's it.
You would hope...
So it'll be 6 weeks.
You would hope it doesn't finish. You'd hope that he doesn't have to go in for surgery because that would be a major blow because you've got Lakey back there, obviously. Spanger hurt himself in the ankle. Hurt his ankle yesterday
Not
in the VFL.
Not something they can't cover, though, is it?
No.
I mean, they can win it without Frawley.
Yeah, and Gibson's just been amazing the way he's played that key defensive post.
That is... I think that has been... Has Lake been as good as what he's been, the last couple? Probably not. He's sort of been in and out for various different reasons. I thought Frawley really strengthened that area up again, and what it did is it allowed Gibbo and this bloke to play their roles down off half-back. I mean, Frawley clearly plays a negator, and that's probably one advantage that he's got, having had a few shoulders, PT. Playing in defence... And not necessarily being a target up forward or having necessarily to take a lot of marks. All that he has to do is play a negating role. So that's why they may decide not to operate now and that he can play later in the year. Because if you're just negating someone, punching the ball away, I mean, geez, BT, even you and I could still do that.
Shawnee, we need to ask you about Sam Mitchell. You said before you haven't seen the incident, but is it fair go, to do the jabbing joke against the Essendon players, the jabbing sledge?
I wouldn't have done it. I don't think Sam's broken any rules. There's nothing, he hasn't said anything wrong. It's just probably a moral issue, whether you want to do it or not. And disappointing thing is we had a good victory yesterday, and we'd like to be talking about that instead of talking about what Sam... what Sam Settle did. Like I said before, I got into the change rooms after the game and there was a bit of commotion going on. I didn't realise what had happened. There was a bit more media in there. And there wasn't a fight on the oval or anything at all. So none of us even saw it. There's only a couple of players who saw it on the field, apparently. So we'll just wait and see how things work out from there. But he came out and apologised straight away. He realised he probably shouldn't have said it, which is a good thing. But hopefully we can move on and talk about the game, the victory we had.
Sean Burgoyne joining us on Triple M. And when you look into the next door box there and you see a guy, he looks like your teammate, but he's got a pair of Josh Gibson glasses on.
Like Mr. Magoo.
I don't think there's any lenses in
this. He's got some sort of trendy hat on. He's just trying to look like someone that he's not, Shawnee. Is that Jordan Lewis there?
It is, and he's... I don't know. I wouldn't be wearing them. Teasing you about your glasses.
We're talking through the glasses.
He's saying to Shawnee, where are yours? Do you need them, Shawnee? Are you losing your sight a little bit?
Apparently I do. The boys don't like my squinting.
We're going to take a break on Triple M football. And Jay-Z.
I was just going to say, Sean, what did you make when Alistair Clarkson put up the back page of The Age? Did that fire you up, the picture of Hurdy saying he hates Hawthorn?
Yeah, it added a bit more spice to it, and just added to the rivalry.
Joining us now, the GM of footy down there at Carlton, Andrew McKay, joins us in the commentary box. Andrew, good afternoon and welcome.
Thanks, Brian. Good to be here.
We've been speaking with Jay-Z, Andrew, and he's just given us the big expose that LeBron James is coming to join the Carlton Football Club. He's immediately going to take you into premiership favouritism. Is it LeBron or another basketballer joining you?
It's LeBron crossed with Wayne Carey, so we're going to be okay.
But, no, seriously, you've got an international rookie. When's he arrive?
Yeah, he'll be with us in the next couple of weeks, a guy by the name of Matt Korcher, and he's just finished university over there, and he was on a AFL talent camp about a month ago, and he was a standout for us, so we're going to get him over and have a good look at him over the next couple of weeks.
And how long do you give what length of time before they've got to meet a certain criterion to continue to stay? Is that the way it works? Or?
Well, initially he'll just be with us for probably 10 days to 2 weeks, and we'll just have a look at him and get to know him and see how keen he is to come over and have a crack at it, because he can come onto a international, or it's actually a Category B rookie, as we call it nowadays. And we've got space to do that, and that's outside the salary cap as well. And that enables him to have a good chance to develop over the next year or two after that. But we're a long way from that, I have to admit. It's very embryonic at this stage.
Worth the punt, you would think, Swatter.
Talking about your list, it's been the topic of conversation. Obviously, Sosa's got a big job to do. I was just quickly looking through the list at the moment. Not all of the guys, but Doherty, Cripps, Murphy, Gibbs, Menzel, White. Those guys, you would probably say... the untouchables at Carlton. Do you then look, obviously Henderson still hasn't signed, so there's a question mark whether Yaron has some currency. What do you do in terms of your list? Are there guys that you just say, no, don't even discuss those, but everyone else we're prepared to at least have a conversation about?
Yeah, I don't want to get into specifics today, Wayne, but certainly what I will say is that we really want to build the depth of our list. We need some more talent in the door, and...
Yep.
We really want to aim for that. We want to get some through the draft. Obviously, we're hoping we'll get some really good draft picks this year. But also looking at that 20 to 22-year age group. And that's not just midfield. It's all over the ground. So we've got a few fingers in pies at the moment, as most clubs have, I'm sure, at this time of year. And we're a long way off from sealing any sort of deal or anything like that. But certainly we're hopeful that we'll get some more talent in the door to just increase the depth of the list. And that's what we need to do over the next number of years.
Macca, is Jakey Carlisle a man you've got some interest in?
Oh, he's certainly a very good player. Very good player. And obviously stalling talks with Essendon. I think we need a fair bit of money to get Jake in the door. But, we'll certainly... We haven't spoken to, but we may well approach him later down the track.
Should have a bit, though, available, Macca, because the great Chris Judd is now retired, so there should be some spending money there that you can invest into quality like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a little bit of room in the cap shorter, so we should be able to do some things. It just depends on who and what and where.
That's a fairly good swap, though, isn't it? Henderson for Carlisle? Or you'd obviously like to keep Henderson.
Yeah, we'll get both of them.
And get Carlisle. That's right. How far down the track are you with Henderson? Is the talks completely stopped, or is there constant negotiations?
Not negotiating at this stage, but certainly keeping in close contact with his manager every week. So There's no animosity or ill feeling there, and Lockie keeps saying to us that he doesn't want to go anywhere. He just wants to start playing some decent footy first before he starts negotiating his contract.
Andrew, when do you finalise the shortlist for the coaching selection search? And can you give us a couple of names you'd expect to be on that shortlist?
I reckon John Barker might be on that shortlist. But, you know, it's really all the obvious ones that the paper and the press have named already. You know, the Brendan Bolton, you know, Stewie Jew, I imagine. You know, a number of the other guys that you you guys know more than me probably, but you know, at this stage it's certainly early days. We met the committee on Tuesday night and just got their view around the philosophies of coaching and see if they matched our views and what we were after, and it was really, really good discussion for a couple of hours there. So the next step is for Steve and I and David to speak to a number of these candidates and then present some to that committee over the next couple of months.
Is Brett Ratten an option?
Well, I've just got told from 3AW, they spoke to him yesterday and he said he wasn't an option.
Good answer. Hey, does this current list need an inexperienced coach?
This club, this playing group needs the best coach we can find, Schwatter.
What's your view? Experience versus inexperience?
I think it helps if they've actually coached in their own right before, and it doesn't have to be at senior level, but there's an advantage, I think, if they've done it for VFL or country or under-18s or something. To drive the bus yourself, as Mick Malthouse used to say, is a completely different story to sitting in the passenger seat. But in saying that, you know, there's some really talented guys around that actually haven't done that yet that may stand up and make us take note.
How important is it that you get a guy that's tasted success? How important is that that premiership, whether it be as an assistant or they're having played in a premiership?
I think it helps if they come from a successful system, I reckon. Whether they've played in a premiership, it's probably not as important. But if they've been in a successful environment over some period of their development, then that helps enormously.
How much weighting do you put to the presentation that a coach will make, the slides, the package, as opposed to what he does on a day-to-day basis?
And that's a good question, because we all remember, I think it was Damien Hardwick's computer broke down at Essendon, and he didn't get the job based on the fact the computer wouldn't
fire
up.
I was on that committee. Yeah, poor old Damien. Oh. I think Hawthorn took his computer away the day before, so he's madly up all night tapping away on his wife's computer. It's a really good question, because as you guys know, in any job interview, if you're interviewing potentials, all they tell you is exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah.
So that's the art of it, I suppose, and that's why we've got some real diversity on that committee to try and see through a lot of that and throw up ideas to these candidates and really make sure they can do what they're saying they're going to do.
Macca, how would you describe the change in the Carlton group over the past month? If you could put it down to one or two things that Johnny Barker has changed, that has sort of rediscovered the life or zest, the intensity at the contest, what has triggered that?
Yeah, I think I think there's a couple of things. Obviously, the pressure was building up on Mick and the club. And then there was a bit of a release when Mick left, and that's certainly not to no detriment or anything to do with Mick. It's more the media pressure and the pressure the guys put on themselves to try and perform for Mick. And so I think they've gone out and played a little bit less inhibited football. And also we've tried to strip it back a bit and just try and keep it simple. When you're 1-9 now obviously two wins on the board, but a couple of weeks ago, just with one win on the board, we really tried to keep it simple, not to complicate things. And as we in this room know, you know, footy 101 is just having a crack, having some real effort at that footy.
Just as important, though, it's I think for a long time the Blues, from the board down, have not been on the same page. Just as important you get that right with the coach and with the rest of the people that work at the footy club, because there seem to be the fractions that seem to be going on with Mick. Not only with Mick, it's been going on for a little while now. Dennis Pagan was another one that said that was clearly an issue while he was there. Is that an area that you think you really need to nail down and get right also?
Yeah, I've really felt the board is on the same page as administration the last 18 months. Since Mark Legutice has taken over, he's done a fantastic job and really rallied the board. And we, as a management group, we have a lot more contact with the board and a lot more two-way communication. So we feel as though we're really united in that front. And I think, you know, that we involve the coaching group as often as we possibly can on some pretty decent decisions. So we're trying to, you know, we think we're on the right track with the unity side of things. The coaching role is a damn big role. It's a huge job. So we've got to really make sure we get the right person for the job.
And we'll get the coach to sit down early with Mark Stevens and just make sure everything's all right there, will we? We'll just get those two on track from the start, Andrew. So just sort things out
early.
I
won't have anything to do anymore.
We appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on Triple M Football.
Thanks, guys.
Andrew McKay, the GM of footy at Carlton. Duck, I just wanted to go into bat for you. I saw an article in yesterday's Herald Sun written by the chief football writer of the Herald Sun, Mark Robinson, criticising the opinions of yourself, Jason Dunstall and Jonathan Brown. He says their thoughts on the Gibbs tackle are wrong because he was KO'd. He says their opinions are dangerous for the sport. Robbo, it was an accident in a highly aggressive and combatant sport. The tackle was perfect, legitimate. Most players say it was, most coaches say it was, and most commentators agree. No coincidence that those that agree have all played the game at this level and have much better and deeper understanding than yourself, Robbo. They have been taught, hammered on the specifics, forced to commit to the tackle. Robbo, you either commit to the tackle or you don't. Dunster was a peculiar one, he said, out of the three. In other words, they think he's a bit more intelligent than you guys. That's what I took out of that. Brown and Carey as virtual buffheads that don't know what they're talking about was the assumption there. Look, I'm not quite sure. Robbo disagreed with Carey and Dunstall and Brown. He says they go looking and he went and found Scott West to help support his logic here, Jay-Z. And West said he has seen sling tackles in junior football. Of course he has. And they're dangerous. You see sling tackles everywhere. A sling tackle, Duck, is where you grab the jumper
and
you sling him around, or you grab the arm.
It wasn't classified as a sling tackle.
It was not a sling tackle, and tackling has evolved over the years, says Robbo. Yes, it has, and it just simply wasn't a sling tackle.
And the other thing that he failed to mention was that Gray actually passed a concussion test, just like Edwards the other night. Could have came back on the ground. And the only reason why he got suspended was because Gray stayed off the ground. So it's as simple as this. If you want to suspend people, if you want to suspend everyone that hits their head on the ground for a tackle, irrespective of the injury, then go ahead and do it. At least we have consistency by doing that. Yep, that's all I was saying. And I stand by that. The thing that I laugh about Robbo is that we all have an opinion, Robbo. We're allowed to have one. It doesn't make it wrong or right.
Yeah, that's right. And I sort of stuffed it up because I wrote it down in quick hand notes, didn't quite get it out very well. But anyway, this is time now for...
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shit.
Was Sam Mitchell out of line yesterday, Duck?
Showed lack of respect for the other team, so not a good look.
Can you see James Hird coaching past his current contract?
I like the Essendon board should make that decision at the end of next year on the basis of all of his work, not a knee-jerk reaction right now.
Do you think Matt Korchek will ever play an AFL game?
No.
Swan's shaky?
I don't know him, so sorry, Matt, but the odds are against you because even some of the very best players that play all their year, the average games is, what, 34, 35 or something? So the odds are against him, let's be honest.
Swan's just starting to get a bit shaky, Duck.
Swans, no swatter. They were very good in the first half. Let's not forget, they were smashing them in the first half, had a poor second half. I still think they're the real deal. They are going to find it tough, though, for the next couple of weeks without their two big forwards. Not that Tippett's been doing a lot.
Just step forward, Shawnee, if you want to ask a question. Just barge your way in, mate. Honourable loss, Collingwood, yes, no?
Honourable loss, yes.
There is such a thing, is there?
Absolutely. There most certainly is an honourable loss. And I think that I'll tell you what they showed. They showed that they're way better than I think a lot of us thought they were. And it showed that Fremantle probably not as good as what we thought they were. I think that's probably about where they sit. Well, that's where I sit with both those sides.
How did you describe Jesse White's miss from 25 metres out in the last minute of the game?
Like all of the misses that miss from there, it's just an area of the game that hasn't improved. It's all in their head. What do you say about it? We've said it a million times. We talk about it every week.
Give me your best shot, Sean. Go on.
Another three votes for five. Is the Brownlow his?
Oh, Yeah, look, it is. Although I will say you don't get six folks for a game, Swatter, and there's a couple of blokes that are having blinder of seasons. Hanbury's been fantastic. We know that he had a massive first half on the weekend. The other bloke is Pritis. Pritis will have a lot of... Pritis will have 20-plus votes at the same time as Fife. Fife might have sort of 26 closer to that area, but, he's very close
to it already. Your favourite TV show returns on Channel 9 this week, Duck, The Voice. You've done an interview with one of the judges on The Voice.
My Kitchen Rules and all that sort of stuff. We have. We interviewed. It's going to be interviewed, replayed tomorrow on Dead Set Does Breakfast.
Did you sing or something?
Did I sing?
Yeah.
let's
have a listen to where the duck sang.
If I could turn back time... Well,
now hang on. Now, one of the judges on The Voice, yep. Ricky Martin, yep. He had a response to your efforts.
Yep. I think it's about the choice of song.
Oh, that's a good.
That's a no.
That is a fantastic setup. That is.
No, you got to keep trying, man. You got to keep trying.
Oh, you know, I tell you what, BT, we interview a lot of people. I was more nervous about talking to Ricky Martin than anyone I've ever spoken to.
Really?
Oh, he's just got to be. What a lovely man. And for him to be so nice, Swatter, and just say it was a wrong song choice and my voice was putrid.
Hey, should the Swans look at trading Kurt Tippett?
I said it a few years ago. You've got to look at everything. And when you're spending so much money on one player, which they are, and he's not probably performing to that level, think about what they could get. There's another club out there that could really deal with a big forward that competes, or maybe more of a ruckman, but clearly he's not living up to
Robbo.
The expectations of what he should be getting paid. I think he would be on the table, and if he's not, then I think the Swans people wouldn't be doing
Talking
their job correctly.
Machine today. Last night, St Kilda, you were a great centre-half, one of the greatest.
Oh, come on, Robbo, don't start winding him up.
What do the Saints do when they just bomb it into a really crowded forward line like that?
Well, when I played, I just marked it, Robbo. What do you do? Well, you just have to make sure it comes to ground and you've got blokes front and square, Robbo. It's not a puzzle.
Time now for Tell Me Something I Don't Know. What do you got, Swatter?
My understanding is, Brian, in recent weeks, there have been up to 3 Essendon players that have gone to the match committee and said, I'm not in the right mental space to play and haven't played.
Really?
Sorry, Swatter, I was just having a snooze.
Just said 3 players from Essendon, my understanding is, have gone to the match committee individually and said that I'm not in the right headspace to play at the moment, and they have not played them.
That's a big story, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, you got
right there.
You got some names for us, Swatter?
No.
Okay, well, I alluded to this earlier, so very quickly, we talked about, coaches and players that they didn't look. Remember when... Nathan Buckley had already half signed to come to the Kangaroos, yep. And Dennis Pagan was meeting him. He walked into a hotel room, and there was Nathan Buckley lying up on the bed eating an apple. And from that time on, Dennis Pagan, before every game, talk about motivation and people putting stuff up. Dennis would say to us, do you remember Buckley? He didn't want to play with you, bloke. He's lying up there like Marilyn Monroe, eating an apple.
Mickey Roberts, what do you got for us quickly?
On the back of CEO St Kilda yesterday, Matt Finnis said something about St Kilda going back to Moorabbin. And I hear, BT,
yes.
There's a bit of a group to actually get a statue down there. I know there's an...
Statue of who?
Could be Trevor Barker, which would be a fantastic thing
good
on
one,
the back
Robbo.
Of settling the Moorabbin disco
Beautiful.
Again.
I like it.
Very good. Very Shawnee Burgoyne, you got one?
Yeah, I'll throw a teammate under the bus again. Had a teammate bought a new car a few months ago.
Yes.
Only problem is he bought a manual. Never driven one before.
Right.
Troubles there. It's been about 9 months.
He's Did he have trouble getting out of the car yard? Not
apparently so, yes.
Oh, a few, bit of kangaroo hop.
Kangaroo hops out. It's been about 9 months. Already he needs a new clutch, some new brakes, some new tyres, and a change of coolant as well.
Name, so, and his name would be?
I'll keep that secret for now. Maybe the same player decides to run a 400 in his warm-up for every game.
Oh, Langford.
Just think of the super intelligent, because when it comes to street smarts, they're not so intelligent.
If you can't find them, grind them.
Hey, a few years ago, guys, remember the AFL was all about South Africa, recruiting out of South Africa, yep. A few exhibition games over there, not happening anymore. The AFL has pulled out of the South Africa experiment, won't be recruiting out of there, no exhibition games, too unsettled.
Shut up! The footies on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.